Okay.
When people can become familiar to the word of God, the worst thing that can ever happen to a man is when we become familiar with the word of God. When the word of God no longer pierces a man's heart, he has fallen into the trap of religion. He cannot make progress. He cannot know transformation. He cannot know the chiseling that coming together and sitting under the means of the word ought to be doing. When a man becomes familiar with the word of God, he has become too familiar with God, and God will abandon him. He has fallen into the trap of religion. And familiarity means that a man no longer trembles before the word of God. Familiarity means a man says, oh, that's exactly the way that message was another time. And from the moment God gets a person who gets once, twice, thrice, as he's not shaken, you will never hear the voice of God again. In the abundance of God's word, people may be lacking God's word. Because the word of God has become the written word and no longer the revealed word to them. Are you too familiar with God's word? Has the word come to you repeatedly, a particular word repeatedly, again and again, so that if there is exactly the way it was, the first time when it came, you were convicted, you were shaken, and you wanted to do something about it, and you did not do anything about it, and after a time, that word means nothing to you. There can be no revival among a group of people who take the word of God lightly. The easiest way to take a man lightly is to take his word lightly. And if you take God's word lightly, God takes you lightly. If the word of God means nothing to you, you mean nothing to God. I want to encourage you to pray that we become a people who tremble before the word of God. So that teaching will make meaning to you. Meditation will make meaning to you. Reading the Bible will make meaning to you. So you will not reach a point in your life when the word of God has become rare. Not because there are no Bibles, because you may have all the versions of the Bibles and yet not be getting the word of God. The word of God is when something leaves the pages of the Bible and becomes life and enter into you and produces something that the next day your life has changed because the word became life. The word was quick. The word penetrated you. The word broke you. The word cut something into you. The word was a hammer. The word was a sword. The word pierced your heart. And the word was able to seal the truths in your life. And the goal emerged. You made progress. Are you too familiar with God's word? Can God still speak to you? Are the whispers of God no longer pricking your heart so that you wait for a trumpet? God does not trumpet to those who are close to Him. God whispers to those who are close to Him. Our attitude to God's word define our future. The attitude of a group of people to God's word define their future. I want people to pray. We'll come back to a point that
We respond.
We tremble. We fear.
When the word of God comes to us. Watch your prayers now. Thank you, prayer.
Lord, we pray to you, God, for change your hearts. Lord, our hearts have become hearts. That even when your word comes, we have come so confused. Lord, forgive me, O God, for becoming so insistent, O God. Forgive us, O God. And I will cry to you, O God, that this day will cease us. Because what you have given to us is your word, O God. And you always speak to us, you always speak to us close to you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we break the familiarity that has come in our hearts and we bless the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, so we pray that the fear of God will give our hearts again. We pray, oh God, that we be people who tremble to your word, oh God. But we pray, oh God, that our hearts will be sensitive and responsive to your word. God, visit us this day in the name of Jesus Christ. This is this day, O God, and we pray that all the familiarity that has come, that we can be broken now. And once again, we'll be people tremble to watch. Once again, we'll be people, O God, who take your mind, O God, seriously. So we can all like happiness to us, we'll be banished in our hearts and church. We beg you, Lord.
Who is troubled by God's words? Something that you received. Either you've gotten the word of God, it's so convicting, it's troubling you, that you feel that you ought to repent before the people of God. You've got the conviction weight upon your hearts. And as a result of that, you have become a visitor among the people of God. It was because of the abundance of God's word among his people that the people of God finally went to captivity. Because the abundance of the word of God came and was not obeyed by the people of God, and God was forced to send them to captivity where there will be no word. A man is sent to captivity where there will be no word of God in order that he may cry out to God for the word he wants you to hear. When a man hears the word, receive the word, and receive and receive and receive, and in the abundance of the prophet of God,
a man is fed up in captivity. And why does the word of God come to the people of God? God wakes up, come to his people, move among his people, look at the condition of his people, and giving them one word after the other, God is looking for how to improve, how to change, how to transform the life of his people, and the only medium for transformation is his word. He sent out his word and healed them. He sent out his word and things were created. The only means through which God uses, what God uses to change his people, is his word. But unfortunately, some people, and most of the time the people of God, become hardened to the word of God, and God becomes powerless to change them. And God started watching it. The means for transformation is God's word. And when the word comes repeatedly, and comes repeatedly, and hits your heart repeatedly, and pierces your heart repeatedly, and ringing upon your heart, and ringing your conscience, and ringing, and ringing, and ringing, You reach a point, you no longer respond to it. You stay without the word, not without the Bible. You may have this, but not have the word. You may have this, but not have the word. Because it was left the written, come to find a place in your heart, and you close your heart, and it disappeared until you go to captivity. And in your captivity, you cry until one day God will have mercy and drop one word again on your heart to call you back. Who is under a conviction because of a word he received? I must repent before God so that he can be able to receive again. Who is under a conviction, a weight of conviction, because of a word he has received, a teaching he has received? It came heavily upon his heart, and with effort he shook it off. We can never shake the word of God away. I feel there are some people who must put these things right to be able to. So that we can go to the next step. Okay, go ahead, Simon.
I repent, O Father. I repent, O Lord, for you have given to me truly and life, O Lord. Give life and everlasting life unto my house, O King of Glory. But I rejected it, O King of Glory. Oh, I'm sorry, Father. Have mercy and compassion unto me. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Then let me see your place. Because we started talking about that. And for some people, it was a revelation. It was a word that came to rescue you. It was a word. A servant of God was at head speaking. And he spoke into your life, and he spoke the word that concerned you. And it was God that had descended that morning to rescue just you. And you did two things. You hardened your heart. And number two, you made as if the messenger of God that was in front was a liar. And you knew it. And after a time, after that, you remained with that problem. And you may have persisted until you are who you are today. I want to go ahead with the word, but I feel that there's so many people who need to stand before the people of God and repent of specific things that came to them. Some have betrayed the people of God. Your word of correction came and became your stumbling block. Even last week, I was very troubled. I had to rebuke some brethren. That paper we're given, just put down things that you need to sort out with God. Put it down. Pray through it. And talk to God about it. By the time I even reached down, some had reached already. I had to show one of the brethren that what I told you people to do was what God told me, and that I wrote it in the meditation book, that when this word will come, let the people of God sit down, examine their life, and come before me and say, Lord, truly, this is what I committed myself to do, and I put my life, I am sorry, this, between you and God. Some never did it, and they have come to get the next direction. was supposed to sort things out last Sunday. Before you leave this place and you did not do it. Stand. You're supposed to sort things with God inside this room before you leave this place and you did not do it. Stand. You understood what you had to do. When people don't tremble before the word of God, just go and do what you have to do. I mean, you feel you have sorted it out, come back and get what God has for you. The word of God should never become a joke to us. After a time, you may become a bearer of false testimony of a group of people that God is not blessing. God, who are constantly going to church, nothing happening in their lives. A group of people, they gather, and the more they gather, the worse their life is becoming. And you become one of them who block the next person from coming in. Well, I've not given them. I've told them just put things right so that you will get the next thing from God. A man does not go to the next meditation without sorting out what God was telling him yesterday. If God told you something that needs to be put right with him yesterday, and you don't put it right, and you come again before God to receive the next thing, you have made God to become a child to you. And you will close your heart. You have become religious. I want you to know that God loves us. God is not interested with any of his children being stagnant. God is not looking for people to use. God is looking for people to bless. God is not looking for people to ride upon their backs as slaves. God is looking for people to uplift. That's one of the principles to know as we relate with God. God is not a taskmaster. God is a loving father. God is looking for one reason in your life why he should bless you. And therefore, even when he does not have the reason, he's trying to give you one reason. He will try to give it to you in order to pass through it. Because he's the righteous God. He should be able to answer, why have you done it to this person and not to this other person? When you don't have it, God labors to give it to you. And he gives it to you through his word. So that It can be said of Ahab. Said to the prophet concerning Ahab, have you seen Ahab? Even the most wicked king Ahab humbled himself. Therefore, I will not judge him. I will not do this at this particular time. God looked for the slighter and said, you see how he humbled himself when he heard that my word, that I'm about to judge him. Therefore, I will not do it again. God is looking for that. And when you don't have it, he will give you his word in order to produce that in your life. Because he trembled at my word. Who has read in the Bible that God will say, because this one trembled, when he heard my word, he trembled, I will no longer do this. Who has read it? That because he trembled at my word. What does that mean? That the word shook his heart. He trembled. He feared. God said, because that was how he reacted towards my word, I will not do what I wanted to do. God can hold back his judgment because somebody trembled. What more of? Because somebody obeyed. Lift up your hand and say, Lord, the heart of man is hardened, but I beg you, oh God, that you give me a heart that is soft, that is soft, that is soft, so that I can relate with you from this position of a soft heart. Lift up your hand and talk to God in your own words. Just talk to God. God is looking for a reason why he should be there. God is looking for a reason why he should go with you and not be accused. It takes humble hearts for God to break in. And when God breaks in, there's light in all directions. There's fertility in all directions. Before a man hears the word of God, he can be excused. After a man has heard, he can no longer be excused. It takes a humble heart. God, I did not know. And I'm sorry that I didn't know. But now that I know, Lord, I'm going to be different. Lord, I knew and I hardened my heart. But you have given me another chance by speaking again to me. I will be different. Do you know the humility in relating with God? I beg you, brethren, don't become religious. Resist it with all your heart. Make as if you are the only one God is dealing with. And tell yourself, if I have an opportunity, I will lay hold on it. God will get nothing from me. I'm the one to get everything from God. God speaks to take his children to the next level. And if his children remain at some level, we should question, is it God who has failed or his children? I want three people to pray that the miracle of transformation will take place during this fast, during this period, that makes our hearts open, sensitive, obedient to the word of God. That makes our heart sensitive, open, obedient to the word of God. I want to lead you from my prayer. Start up and pray, oh Lord, that the miracle of your transformation will take place in our hearts. That make our hearts sensitive, make our hearts open, make our heart obedient to the word of God.
That's how our hearts will be sensitive. Our hearts will be open, Lord, to will be obedient to you, Lord. Be obedient to your word, Lord. We beg you, Father, that you do something for us, Lord. And creep in a new heart, Lord, Father. That we will obey you. That we will go for you. That we will belong for you, Lord. I beg you, Father, that you transform us, Lord, Father, during this period of fasting and crusade, Lord. I beg you, Lord, Father, that you do it for us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I will share a brief message with us. The blessing through faithfulness in serving God. Blessings through faithfulness in serving God. It's part two of what I started last week. Blessings by being faithful in Christian service. Blessings because you are serving God faithfully. Is it worth it by being different? Is it worth it by pouring yourself in serving Him? Is it worth it by fearing God? In the course of the crusade, Brother Theodore shared with us something. Well, one of the brethren shared a testimony. He shared with us how they, when the ark of God was being carried, who has read about somebody who turned the ark and died? Open your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Because God has given many people here the reason why He should bless them and bless their household, but they have missed it. The channel of your blessing has come to your home and you did not recognize it. We'll read the whole chapter before I go to what went to my share. Yes, read aloud, okay.
Okay, Samuel chapter 6. David again brought together out of Israel chosen men, 30,000 before. He and all his men set out from Bala of Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is entering between the cherubim that are on the ark. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the ark of God on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might, before the Lord, with songs and with harps, lyres, tabourines, sistrums, and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark of God, because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me?" He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Hittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Hittite, for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God." So David went down and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, He sacrificed a bull and a fattened cow. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sounds of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window, and when she saw the king David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women. And all the people went to their homes. When David reached home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the scandals of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." David said to Michal, It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I'll be humiliated in my own eyes. But by this slave girl you spoke of, I'll be held in honor." And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll just look at people's different attitude to the act of God and what the benefit is.
That's by what we share. The act of God talks about the presence of God. If you read the Bible, you will know that it was the act that represented the presence of God. From verse 1, David again brought together out of Israel chosen men, 30,000 in all. Those who went to Kumeh, that's the number of us who were there, were around 30,000. Imagine 30,000 people chosen in order to bring out, to bring to Jerusalem a box. He and all his men set out from Bala of Judah to bring off from there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim that are on the ark. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab. So the house of God was in the house of who? Abinadab. Amen. And the ark of God has stayed in the house of Abinadab for some time. And as they were carrying the ark of God, Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new ark. Two children of Abinadab. One on this side, the other one on that other side. They were guiding the ark. Sorry, the new cart. The ark of God has stayed in their house. The presence of God in their house for long. They knew the box. And what happened? With the ark of God on it, and Ahio walking in front of it, David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord with songs and harp, lyres, tambourines, sistrums, and cymbals. I want us to see David. They were celebrating, all of them. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah. because of his irreverent act. Underline that in your Bible, his irreverent act. The act of God represents the presence of God, and the act of God represents the church of God that you have in your house, the house church that you have in your house. Some have had, they can have the house church for months, for years, and there will be no progress in their homes. And because of their attitude to the house of God, to the ark of God, to the people of God, because of their attitude to the presence of God, they can introduce something terrible in the life of their children. They start treating the things of God in an irreverent way. That's what happened to Moses. Ahio was in front, moving in front. Uzzah by the side. The rest were celebrating. And very soon, he heard the box. It's from our house and he has stayed in our house. What is that? The box. And God killed him on the spot. A person can be killed. Your finances can die. Your studies can die. Many things can die concerning your life because of the way you handle the things of God. Some can handle and are blessed, and some can handle and everything will die about your lives. From the house of Abinadab, Uzzah died. Because Uzzah is this child trained by the parents, because the parents will not say, stop it. When the people of God are meeting, the people of God are praying, he's playing, and after a time, you have an irreverent child. An irreverent child. That when the house church is meeting, he goes and put on the television. May not even be an irreverent child. May just be because of who you are. I've gotten people, some come here, a meeting is going on, they go there. Sometimes you can go and meet somebody down, the meeting is going, people are praying, the person is just sitting down. He does not know that that is how to treat God in a disrespectful way. You are never the same when you dishonor God. You are never the same when you dishonor the house of God. You are never the same when you dishonor the people of God. You are never the same when you dishonor that house. Church, it's in your house. For some, it is exactly when it is their house church time that they put something to start cooking. For some, it is at that time when the brethren are coming for the house church. They pick their thing, they are moving, they want to start their cars. Prayer is taking place in your home, and at the time of prayer, that's when you are going away. That was the training Uzzah received. And as a result of that, when this ark was being taken away, there's nobody weeping that at last, that we should have brought us blessing is going away. Let it go. What is body? The presence of God comes to bless the people of God. God has given many people reason why they should be blessed. The people of God meeting in the home. When the Bible says, where two or three gather in my name, I am in their midst. Do you know what it means? That week after week, the people of God gathering in his name, in your home, and your home remains the same. Confront your attitude to the gathering of God's people. control your attitude. When two or three gather in the name of the Lord, that we are not ready and say, at last, God again will be in his own. How have you treated that house church in your home? How have you treated that house church in your home? How have you treated that house church in your home? How have you treated that service God gave to you? That work God gave to you to do for him? The sons of Abinadab, one of the sons, died because of the ark. Samuel stayed in the temple with the ark, where the ark of God was, and rose to become a prophet, to become a king, to become a priest. And the sons of Eli stayed where the ark of God was, and ended up judging. They died, two of them died on the same day. Every man's attitude to God defined his future. Train your children to fear God. Train yourself to fear God, to fear the presence of God, to fear the people of God, the presence. And when the people of God gather in the name of the Lord, you tremble. You are no longer the head of that home at that time. Why is it that God has given to us many reasons why we should be blessed? I mean, people remain like paupers. So that the whole thing becomes religion. The house church in your home is the reason for God to bless you, to promote you. God gives you a reason why your home should be blessed, why your children should be blessed. So Uzzah, the son of Abinadab, the ark stayed in their home. The Bible said for long. It was for long. And then this boy just jumped the ark and died. I wonder how many things have died in Braden's home because of the way they handle the people of God. I wonder how many things have died in your hands because of the way you handle the service of God. I wonder what are the things that have died, things that concern your life. Things that concern your future, because God gave you the reason. God was looking for the reason why he should bless you, so that no one will accuse him, and finally brought two or three people to begin to meet in your home, and that became the reason why God did not bless you, because you treated them with despise. You will leave the people of God in your home to go and attend a wedding meeting somewhere, a baptism meeting somewhere, a clan meeting somewhere. When you come and tell me, if you tell me as a leader, my tribe, my clan people, my family is meeting on Sunday, that's the reason I will not be around, because my family is meeting on Sunday. You want the leader to clash with your family? You have made your choice. Abinadab lost one of his sons because the ark stayed in his home and he did not train the children how to treat the ark. So the Lord's anger burned against Uzzah, and the Lord struck him there and he died. Verse 8. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was angry. Verse 9. David was afraid of the Lord that day. Never permit what happened to you to become the reason why some people fear you. In a bad way. Let what happened to you be the reason why some people will say, God is truly a faithful God. Look at how this one followed God and was blessed. Not look at how this one followed God and was judged. God has given you a reason why he should bless you. And it is that house church in your home. It is that house church in your home. That house church in your bless. That house church will lead you. That house church you have been leading was the reason why God said, I want a reason why to bless you. David said, how can the ark of the Lord ever come to me? So David feared the holiness of God. And he was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him. Just like some people are not willing to have any house church in their homes. Because they are not ready to pay the price. They don't want it. They don't want to be inconvenienced. And they don't know that by doing that, they have also pushed away the reason why God should bless them. There used to be a generation, some believers, who decided they should never stay near the church because if they are too near the church, believers will always, immediately they finish the meeting, they will run to their house. Everybody will be turning around their house. And some decided to stay very far. I want to give you what happened to some of them. The reason why God blesses you is because the people of God are in your house. The people of God in your house, they are always turning around in your house, turning around in your house, turning around in your house, turning around in your house. God will come to take care of them, and by taking care of them, even if one of your children was the most wicked, the top that will fall from the temple of God's children, they will kick it. Have you understood, brethren? So we have seen the first room where the ark of God stayed. And what happened? Someone died. And David was afraid. David said, how can I don't want. He was not willing. Instead, he took the ark of God to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. What Rachel was sharing, that was taught because David knew that someone had died because of the ark of God. He did not want anyone to die in his house. He pushed it over Edom. He pushed it. Let the ark go to Obed-Edom. Let me try. Maybe one of his children will also die. And what happened? Because many of us have not said, you go. Go and see. Go and try. Very few people want to take risks for God. And it is always those who take risks for God who will reap the best. Look at even in Uganda, every new business, after a time, the whole nation is going big. Before, no one wants to try it. Who has noticed that? Because nobody wants to take a risk. But then by the time they join, everybody has joined. There's no more profit. And what happened? The ark of God was sent to the house of Obed-Edom. We are from Abinadab. We are now where? In the house of Obed-Edom. The Kittite. And the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months. And the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Hallelujah. When the ark of God, the church of God, the house church, the people of God, the interests of God come to your home, the Lord will bless you and your household. It was only 3 months. But there's a condition, if your heart is correct. Because if the ark of God stayed in the house of Obed-Edom for long, there was no blessings. Sorry, I've been at that. Because the hearts of the children wrong. You can keep yourself to the interest of God for 3 months. And after that, a revolution takes place in your life. A total revolution in your life, in your family, in your household, all your children blessed and blessed and blessed. Just because of the interest of God. What weighs on my heart about this is that God has given to us many people reason why they should be blessed. Why he should bless them, and they are pushing away, looking for blessings somewhere. The interest of God is the reason why you will be blessed. The people of God is the reason why God will bless you. The house of God is the reason why God will bless you. The service of God is the reason why God will bless you. God gives it into your hands. You push it away. And you continue to look for blessing all over. And you end up being like a pauper, a beggar, looking to pick crumbs. Moving from one dustbin to the other. And that's what the life of many people are. God came to your home. The house of God came to your home. The people of God came to your home. The family of God came to your home. And God rotated where his house is, where his people are, where his children are. And instead of thanking God that at last I'll never forget, I was sharing this somewhere. One elderly man, he heard that the ark of God went and was in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. God bless him. When he heard that was the church, he said, say it again. I repeated. Say, you mean it? Your attitude towards the people of God, the things of God, the children of God, the service of God, the house of God, the work of God defines your future. Never forget this. How is your heart attitude towards that house church? I pity many of the brethren. Because where they started is far greater than where you started, brethren. Then they give you even 5 brethren to start with. During this lockdown, where Daniel is sitting, that's one of the nights, after I waited for the light, power had gone off, waited for the light to come. The light did not come. That's where I was with a candle, preaching one of the messages you people got. I'm praying for any of the messages you got in my witness that I preached. I did not preach as if I was talking to one person. I preached as if all of you were gathered before me. I poured my ear. And after preaching, I discovered it was longer, and just shortly after that, light came. I preached it the second time. I was using the candle. The reason was, I have light on my phone, and it was with my phone I was also recording, and I did not make the error By the time I finish, candle had melted, would melt on the Bible, melt on the chair. But I was laboring to have passed across something to you that I was not seeing. I wasn't seeing you physically. Why do you have the people of God? That you will not withdraw. You will not withdraw. But you are kneeling and saying, Lord, there are these five people. I don't know what your future is about them. Give me a message. Why will they hand over the poor, the Timothys, the people of the future, the people that will take the purposes of God to another generation? And you handle it lightly. I don't know for years now when on Saturday I've slept on our bed and wait on God so that I may hear one word for somebody. It's not that I know the Bible. It's that I'm desperate to hear what God is, God has for his children. If God gives you five people to stand with, call his people, and you labor before him, you labor before him, you labor before him, traveling. Why do you want to start with trees instead of starting with a seed? You'll be surprised what will happen. As the work of God grows in your heart, so does the blessing, material blessing, grow in your life. And so does God promote your children in every direction. When God wants to bless a man, God gives you a reason why he should bless you. And part of the reason, brethren, why he should bless you. Some of you don't know what I go through as a leader. When I see, if God just gives you this to take care of, and very soon, the thing is, like some of you handling the machine, if you go down there are some of our machines that are there. I don't want to ask you to put on the switch there, to block it. If you block, there will be a spark. God gives you one thing to take care of. If you take care of it faithfully, pour your home in and hold it as a treasure. As a treasure, you'll be surprised where God will take you to. You are never the same when God gives anything to your hands. And you are never the same when God gives one person for you to take care of, for him. The Bible says, the ark of God was in the house of Abinadab for how long?
3 months.
And what happened? And the service of God has been in your hand for how long? Where are the blessings because of the house church in your home? Where are the blessings because of the way you handle the people of God? Where are the blessings because of the way you handle that thing? It may just be, come and give this microphone to someone. You are focused on it. You are monitoring to hear the sound. The slightest this thing, you rush. You faithfully handle what you ought to handle. And God says, he has qualified to be blessed. He has served me faithfully, and therefore I will bless him. He has served me faithfully, and therefore I will bless him. He has been faithful in little, therefore he qualifies to handle much. He has been faithful in another person's things, therefore he qualifies to have his own. How will your heart just get up to taste He was faithful in little, we qualify to handle much. And he was faithful in another person's things. And listen, brethren, what more? If you are faithful in handling somebody's thing, God blesses you with your all. What more if you are faithful in handling God's things? For 3 months, God blessed the house of Obed-Edom. Read through in the Bible, you will see what that blessing is. And part of it was that Obed-Edom had many sons. And the Bible said, because God had blessed him, God honored him. Who has read that in the Bible? That is not just, he said that Obed-Edom was so honored, so blessed by God. He gave him a future by giving him sons that had a permanent place in the purposes of God. Verse 12. Now David was told, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God. I want somebody to read that. Three people start up and read that. Verse 12.
Now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God.
Read that.
Now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went down.
That's enough. Read.
Now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God.
Hallelujah. So what happened? God blessed what? God blessed the house of Obed-Edom and everything he has. What was the reason? Because of God will bless you because of what? Give God a reason why he should bless you. Give God a reason why he should bless you. Give God a reason why he should bless you. Bless everything you have. And God has given you a reason why he should bless you. The service he gives to you. The people he has given to you. The hardship he has put into your hand. The ministry he has committed to you is the reason he wanted to see how you handle it. And when David heard about it, David went to pick the ark of God. Have you seen that? David said, no way. I think Obed-Edom has tested it. He did not kill his children. David said, the ark does not kill. The ark does not kill. The ark blesses. The ark of God blesses. There must be a reason why Uzzah died. It was not the ark. The problem was Uzzah. And he went to bring the ark. And the whole of Israel, he left from 30,000 people now, all of Israel. The ark was brought. But by the time the ark reached, another thing happened. Barrenness came. In David's house. Why? Because there was someone who saw how committed David was to the ark and despised David. Never despise the commitment of someone to his God. If you see someone committed to God, encourage that child. Encourage the child. Same parent discouraging their children because they are more committed to God. But you don't know that it is the commitment of that child that may finally rescue your family. Are you always going for prayer? Always pray. Always do this. And finally, you pull the child away from God. And by pulling the child away from God, you pull the blessing away from your family. David danced. And I've seen it here, brethren. Here in the church, you get, after a time, you get some sons of Belial teaming up to talk against the commitment of someone. And after a time, your relationship with God will die. And many people will die about their lives. There are very few people who will say, look how that brother is committed. I am not as committed as him, but I thank God for his commitment, and I will labor to be like him. Or that will team up to speak against, and finally, many people will die for their lives. Have you understood? So your attitude to the people of God, to the church of God, to the house church, to the service of God, to that ministry that God has given to you. You are waiting for me to come and preach. You come and stand, I'm not there. How will you feel this morning? How will you feel? What if the pastor was to preach?
We don't know. He did not tell us where you will be.
Waiting for someone to come and play the machine. And we wait. And after a time, the person comes to start playing the machine. We all bow down as if God has come to play the machine. Thank you for coming at last. You don't know that a demon has come to touch holy things. You don't know that a demon has come to touch holy things. Why are we so blind? Is that riches? Oh, we should know. If I'm driving through you people and I put all of you in the car and I'm going downhill and leave you people in the car and the car continues to move with you people, what do I expect? Tomorrow you jump back into the car that I'm driving? I've seen believers, people who are leading the people of God, pastors, abandon the people of God, and tomorrow they want to come and people, everybody will clap. You are never the same by the way you handle the purposes of God. So, attitude to the presence of God, the people of God, attitude to what God gave you. Attitude to the ministry you have received. Attitude defines your blessing, defines your future, and defines how God will relate with you. We'll round it up with some Bible passages. Moses and Samuel and get the throne. Moses, 1 Samuel chapter 12. Everybody look down. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. Can look open to Colossians chapter 3, 24, 23 and 24. Psalm. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Samuel 12, 24.
And it reads, but be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you.
Thank you.
Colossians chapter.
We're first Samuel 12:24. But be sure to fear, number one, fear the Lord. Everybody say, fear the Lord. Be sure to fear the Lord. Number two, serve him faithfully. Everybody say, serve him faithfully.
Serve him faithfully.
With all your heart.
With all your heart.
He said, fear the Lord.
Here are the elements. Number one is that, fear the Lord. Number two, serve him faithfully. Number three, make sure, are you getting it?
that if there is nothing that it can be said that you held something back in your heart. The person who fears God, serve God faithfully, and pull nothing back from God, will be rewarded by God. He said, consider one great thing the Lord has done for you. He was saying, the great thing the Lord for you was because you feared Him. You served Him faithfully and you held nothing back. And don't forget, that is on the basis of that, that He did what He did. If you stop doing it, that what will benefit you, the blessing will get you missed. Have you understood? Write it. That should be the summary of all the verses you want to read. Number one, fear the Lord. Number two, serve the Lord faithfully and serve the Lord with all your heart. If you do that, you will see what great thing the Lord will do for you. Have you understood? Did you complete it? He said, fear the Lord. Serve Him faithfully. Faithfully means, Colin, you have known me for 20, 25 years. If I've not seen you serving God faithfully, tell me. You are one of those who not by any word should reap the blessing I am getting. By having followed, having seen me, but without lying, I have served my God faithfully. In my will, I will tell my children, I have served my God faithfully. You have seen me serve God. I've served God who sometimes sleepless nights. Oh, my witness, you have seen it. You have seen it when there were just two of us. There were just four of us. We saw when there was no one. We go one of the time distributing tract. It was two of all distributing tract, and Dixon finally believed. Someone asked me on the road that you are a pastor distributing tracts. Why don't you just go and other people will do this type of work? You saw me serve God faithfully. If you do not serve God faithfully, I am not in the hypocrite in the service of God. You have seen in life. Not heard a message. I have served God and I'm serving God. And I hold nothing back and I hold nothing back. If somebody was looking for a teaching to receive, you should not look for a teaching. You have seen when the two of us were there, and some of you have been there, and have seen all the triumph, all the hardship we have gone through. We have not serve the Lord faithfully.
May God help you to see. Okay, let's read.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 11.
Everyone open there. Read.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 23.
So we are Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24.
Says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving.
Yes. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Why? Are you are working for the Lord, not men. And that's where many people are mistaken. And that's where many of you here are mistaken. You are not working for men. you are working for God. Walk at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, as working for the Lord and not working for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, you will receive what?
Amen.
Most people don't know what inheritance is. Inheritance means what my father level and heart, he passed it across to me. What God has, God passes it across to me as an inheritance. Many people are laboring to give an inheritance for their children. Some labor to get the inheritance from the Lord and pass it across. Those who work with all their heart as working for the Lord will give them an inheritance.
Amen.
The Lord will give them an inheritance. The Lord will give them an inheritance. There is an inheritance that are reserved, that is reserved for those who have worked and eat with all their heart and working for the Lord. I told my family that Moses has blessed me. When God blesses me, I will bless him. I'm looking for a gift for him. Because I can be impressed because he went somewhere. And you come and tell me it's 85% done. And tell me what is the next thing I'm available. And it's not open. They are so like that. Working as working for the Lord, that bring God peace, that bring God rest, that tell God it is done. I sent him to Jehovah because I was burdened. They were to come and do the inspection of the school. We are trapped in all directions with all that is going on. After 2 days in the school, when the inspector came, because of part of his investment, the inspector told me, Pastor, when somebody does something well, he should be told. The inspector told me, you have done. Well, I was tied to only 2 people, no one else. Margaret was there day and night, Moses was there. He would rise early in the morning, that moment I would call by 7. He says, I am on it. Late at night, he's still there. And after 2 days, a government official can tell me, congratulations. In another meeting I attended, a government officer asked me, is that the way missionaries behave? That your school can be dirty. Things that were being done, and nobody was telling me, I was standing in public to answer and become put to shame. Even at that meeting, before the meeting starts, when I call, try to ask for this. He said, yeah, this is like this. Meanwhile, they are telling me a lie. Until at the meeting. And after that, I told myself, there are moments you have to act alone. But you don't always have to act alone. Because some people in sin and loneliness become so that you don't act alone. This lady was in the same meeting, this inspector, when I was put to shame. Because they are moving to. Just the fact that the toilet can be clean. Just the fact that there is a thing for washing hands. You arrive in a school, it is there locked. I said, what is the toilet thing here? Yet we have it. Children are going to the toilet and coming out. And then the inspectors are coming. I'll call all the teachers. I ask them, do you need inspector to come and tell you that children, when they go to the toilet, they should wash their hands? And I ask them, what were you trained for? And after that, I said, some journeys travel alone. But it does not always end like that. He said, do it as if you are doing it for the Lord, because from the Lord you will receive an inheritance. You will receive an inheritance. Somebody may never come with a bundle of money to give you, but there's an inheritance coming, and that inheritance is from the Lord. There is blessings through faithfulness in serving God. There's blessing through faithfulness. You will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Everybody say, as a reward.
As a reward.
An inheritance from the Lord as a reward. An inheritance from the Lord as a reward. An inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. My brethren, get it. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 reads, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
This is brethren. He said, therefore, my dear brothers, this is Paul speaking, stand firm. That's number one. Don't be shaking. The slightest disturbance, you are shaken. He said, stand firm. Number two, let nothing move you. Number three, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Give yourself how?
Fully
to the work of the Lord. Give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Why? Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. There is blessings for faithful service to God. Wholehearted service to God. Some labor to plant. Some labor to invest in their God. When rust, moth, caterpillars will never destroy, for a time will come when the inheritance will come, when the reward will come to those who have faithfully served their God. To those who have faithfully served their God. Moses, Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. Okay, open to first to number 4. That's the last verse. Okay, get ready. First Chronicle chapter 28. Verse 9 and 10, and 20 and 21, then Psalm, Exodus 23, verse 25 to 28.
Malachi chapter 3, verse
1. Everybody open there, if you are not one of those with you. 16 to 18 months. Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament.
Then those who fear the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard.
a scroll of remembrance was written in their presence, in his presence, concerning those who fear the Lord and honor his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not.
Get it? You will again see a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. But he says, there was a fellowship that was formed among God's people. And what was that fellowship? Those who fear God, they talked with each other. Why is it that we always permit those who don't fear God? They are the ones talking with one another, destabilizing the people of God. Here, those who fear God talk with each other and form a fellowship. And then they started praying. And the Bible says the Lord listened and heard them. Then the Lord recorded their names. There's always a team that says things will become different. They talk with each other. We are companion, the company of those who fear God. We will pray and bring a difference. The Lord will note it down. A scroll was written in the presence of the Lord concerning those who fear the Lord and honor his name. They will be mine. So there's a fellowship, a group of people. Why is it that it is always the uncommitted that we are in fellowship with them? Those who, when it is prayer day, they are not there. If they were to call you, you will always be with them. You are from a fellowship. Why is it that at crisis moment, when some are teaming up to bring a difference, you are never among them? Some talk with one another, start a fellowship. The Bible says a scroll was written in the presence of the Lord and their name recorded. And the Lord said, they will be mine. Then, in the day when I make up my treasure possession, a day when God makes up his treasure possession ready, it is coming. And the Lord said, and I will spare them. Just like in compassion, a father spares a son. And in verse 18, the Lord said, again, there will be a difference between the wicked and the righteous. There will be a difference between those who serve God and those who do not serve God. Why don't we learn lessons? Some commit themselves, they are serving God, they are moving on, totally committed, and God is blessing them. Some hold back, and we don't ask, now that this one held back. So, brethren, a day again is coming, there will be a difference. And the difference, you will see the reward. You will see the reward poor. Not that one where the mockery of the church, the mockery of the people of God, the mockery of the society. A day is coming. The Lord says it. It's called the day of reward, the day of inheritance, the day of God's reckoning. When God suddenly will lift up soul from the ash, from the deep pit, have set their feet upon the rock to stand and put a song in their mouth. They will begin to sing, and the people will be shocked. How did it come about? But they have forgotten. There was a time they were too wise, and this one were too foolish. They held up, this one put up a foot in their own. Serve God. There's reward in serving Him. There's reward in serving Him. I decided to extend the sharing because there's a burden. It's a burden of God's breakthrough in our lives. Part of the revival and part of where we are entering into this first three is a prayer that we will follow the Lord, we will serve the Lord, we will live with abundance. And the abundance will not come from anywhere, it will come from God. And the abundance is given by God to those who have followed Him with all their hearts. Catherine. The things are open there. Just... Yeah.
First Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, 10, and 20 to 21. Verse 9. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, for the Lord touches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will be found by you, but if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a temple as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work.
Is it and you? My son Solomon, acknowledge the Lord, the God of your father, and serve Him wholeheartedly. Everybody say wholeheartedly.
Wholeheartedly.
It's not just and serve Him. Wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches the heart. The Lord does what? He searches the heart. And understand every motive, the reason why you are doing it. He searches the heart. Look at your motive. To reward this man according to his heart, according to his commitment. We don't just serve God, we serve Him willingly, wholeheartedly. If we do that, God who looks at our heart. Okay, we'll not read the other part. Sam, did I give you something to read? Exodus.
Exodus chapter 23. From verse 25. Worship the Lord your God, and His blessing will be on your food and water. I'll take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I'll give you a full lifespan. I'll send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. I'll make all your enemies turn their backs and run. I'll send a hornet ahead of you to drive the Hivites, Canaanites, and Hittites out of your way.
That is, he said, worship the Lord your God, and the Lord your God will do this. Another version says, serve the Lord your God, and this is what will happen. That's Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. Worship the Lord your God, serve the Lord your God, and He said, and His blessing will be on your food and on your water. Then He will take away diseases, sicknesses from among you, and you will not miscarry. There will be no barrenness, and He will give you a full lifespan. There is blessing for all who serve God with all their hearts. Listen, brethren, it is not that you do Him a favor by serving Him.
It is just that he gives you reason why he should pay you by giving you the work. He gives you the reason why he should bless you by giving you what to do for him. And you take it lightly. By taking it lightly, he takes you lightly. By pouring your hope into it, God looks at the heart, examine the motive. God looks at how you are handling his interest, and from that moment, God will equally take over to handle your interest. We shall all read Job chapter 36. Everybody now open to Job chapter 36. What are we sharing, brethren? We are talking about serving the blessings that come from faithfulness in serving God. The blessing that come from serving God faithfully. Job chapter 36. Are we there? Somebody first read, then we shall all read verse 11 together. Read that verse 11. Somebody aloud, read it.
If they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
What did you read? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to read that together. Listen, the preceding verse, it says, God is mighty. Let's say amen to that.
Amen.
God is what?
Mighty.
And the Bible says, and he does not despise men. He is mighty and firm in his purpose. He does not keep the wicked alive, but give the afflicted their rights. He does not take his eyes off the righteous. He enthroned them with kings. The righteous are enthroned with kings of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment. If they obey, if they repent, obey and serve him, something will happen. They will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and the rest of their years in contentment. We are all going to read aloud that verse 11. Job 36, 11. Are we there?
Yes.
Are we there?
Yes.
Let's read.
If they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment.
I'm going to read it again. Go. If they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years. So, there is blessing through faithfulness in serving God. There is blessing through faithfulness in serving God, through wholehearted commitment in pursuit of God, through doing everything with all your heart, through holding nothing back. Let's stand up and pray. It doesn't matter what the past has been. A day comes when a man tells himself, it's not for man I am doing this. I'm not doing it for any man. If it is for the Lord. And I believe that he is the one who has called me and has given me this with all my heart. I will serve him. I will pull nothing back. I will be faithful. I don't know what you want to tell God. We are not even serving him because we want blessings. But there will be blessings. There will be blessings. We serve him out of the overflow of our love for him. But out of his love for us, God always rewards. Lift up your hand and talk to God. Talk to God. Just talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to the Lord. Why are you holding back? This may just be a moment to let go. To
let go. This may be the moment you let go.
Why don't you enroll in this fellowship of those who talk with one another and become totally committed to the Lord? Why don't you say, Lord, I enroll in this fellowship of those who commune with one another, talk with one another, and begin to pour their hope in? Why don't you be one of those who take the initiative to recruit others and say, let's be totally committed to our God? Talk to God.
Why do you need people to pray? I believe that God is thinking about something. And God is speaking to us. Oh, that we may get it. Oh, that we may obey it. And reap the benefit of what God is giving his word to us. Thank you for prayer.
God, we plead, oh God, that you forgive us, oh God. Because in our midst, there are many who have said it's futile to serve God. There are many who have spoken harsh words against you, oh God. We plead for your forgiveness. We pray for your mercy, oh God. You are a faithful God. You reward those who seek you diligently, oh God. Many times we look for the reward too soon and we are quick to complain. Forgive us, oh God, and turn our hearts back to you. That will serve you with all our hearts. That will serve you faithfully. And that will serve you over time. So that we may experience your blessing, your reward, your inheritance. We pray that our hearts will change. We pray that our attitude towards the service of God will change. We pray that those of us who have thrown away God's channels of blessing will repent. Those who have treated the things of God lightly. Those who have neglected the people of God and treated them with condescendence. Oh God, forgive us. Forgive us and change our hearts. So that the blessings that you have for us will be released to us. And we'll be in the position to receive them, oh God. Change us, oh God. Change our attitude to the people of God, the house of God, the work of God. We pray that our hearts will be open to you. We pray that our hearts will be open to your people. To love them, to serve them, oh God. Oh, Father, we plead that our hearts will be open to the work of God. That we will serve you with all our hearts. That we will not hold anything back. That we will not say, last week I was the one who did it. Let somebody else try. We'll be there. We'll be willing. We'll be available. We'll be faithful. We pray that we'll have this, your blessings, oh God. We pray that even the blessings we have missed in the past, as we repent, oh God, it will come to us. We beg you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord is your key. Blessed are they that keep. The Lord bless you.
Amen.